and the record of this is what I have this fear. We got this information and this big guy because this is getting older. We quit the end of the system. And we will tell you that I'm raising this matter because I don't believe that any senior man can attribute any information that he has to the portfolio committee having all the information that we will receive and bring and after that information that the portfolio committee has for information from the department to get it to the information from the information that we receive and then we will receive. I just want also to say to the president to the issue related to customer or colleague is very well. It is seriously worrying in that, yes, there are steps that are understood that are being taken to the phone. My worry as a member of the customer community is that to take a newspaper. If there is any truth in what is being alleged to have been happening, and ICC being responsible for investigating any matter that happens in the end of the kind of understand why this has been overcoming everything. And I must mention the fact that as the portfolio committee, we definitely can trust in that. And indeed, we need to be following up with the code of the code that has been debated in the entire system. But really, I must say that as the portfolio committee, we are sure that you are in that. We will not understand as to why this has to be raised by media and not by IT. We don't understand as to why it has to be people outside the work that they're supposed to do. I mean, the work that is supposed to be in fact correct, like ICG and also to the media. The media does not investigate this thing, but ICG. Or why did the ICG not raise these letters? Why are we suspending people now and not earlier to actually state the number of lives that have been lost? I don't know. But we will actually be waiting for the proper place in the system. I will allow members of the control committee to introduce themselves, and after that, of course, we will allow the executive director to introduce the deliberation, and we will take it.
I'm going to go to the next one. We took that to the individual issues that we have in our system. It's important to note that the information is provided to the committee to commission to engage in our needs agenda. For the national office, the current link is 9 years, 11 months, and 10 years is 4 months. It's important to note that it's the list that for 2019, it's important to note that it's the list that was ended in to try to have the ability that building and also it was going on in the in terms of the process, on 1st March 2009, the National Union has certified the agreement, and on the 14th April 2019, the agreement to the owner on the 15th of November 2010. And there is, as members are aware, an inquiry into the Commission, and the outcome of this. The ICD has lodged comprehensive documents with the state and the state and the public professor on the 14th and 15th of December. The next slide indicates comprehensively what is contained in this agreement in terms of the location of the building itself. The square meter of the building, the number of parking bays, the contract given, and the parking involved, which is the common of traffic, and the electric silver table, as represented in the art around. The lease itself, in terms of weight per square meter, ranges from 80 rand in the inception of the lease, 80 rand per square meter, and 8 rand at the termination of the lease. message for the Eastern Cape. The current lease is on a month to month until the new one will be finalized. The lease information rate will be that it expires in 2010. It's important to note that ICT has engaged in some steps in terms of the required processes to ensure that there is a new one. And the ICT has submitted all the communications, including information of funding in line with our budget. And the network is now under consideration by the government for future development of the acquisition. With regard to the detail of the meeting on the next slide, the detail there indicates the implementation of the facility and the parties involved there is the National Public Works and details of the lease. This slide provides the information in terms of the location of the property, the parties involved, National Public Works, Courier Information, and the rate per square meter there ranges from 9.95 per square meter at the inception of the lease, 75 rand before end of formation of the lease. The next lease is the first lease for rental office. The lease term is 9 years and 11 months, and the termination date is 1st January 2020. With regard to the detail of the lease, it contains the lease contract. The slide will show the actual location of the lease and the parties involved there, the National Public Works and any other properties. As represented by the information. The information over here indicates the rate per square meter, which ranges from 60 of the contract to 119 of the contract. The next list is the Free State Satellite Office. This list is also currently on a month to month. ICD has requested for a new a building in this department and a move from Bethlehem to Wagga. This is based on our statistics that indicate that our services are required there at the Wagga area. All documentation with regard to these issues have also been submitted to the government, and we are waiting also for them to continue. Move on to, in respect of the detail of the lease, the slide shows the location of the lease. And also that the lease ended into the parties involved are National Public Works, Greece, Port Investment, and the rate of 20 ranges from the 409 to 20 at the inception of the lease, and 902 cents at the termination of the lease. I'll move on to how change for the rental property. the link is a 5 year, and the termination is 31st March 2050. And the detail of the lease there indicates where the location of the property is, and the parties involved there is National Public Works and Google Skyscraper. And the rate of payment of the requirement is 830 of the agreement to 88,500. The next lease is for Human Health, Rental Office. The lease is currently on a month to month until renewal of the lease finalized by the department. The ICD has submitted all the communications relating to this lease to the value of public rights for renewal, as well as concerning budgetary allocation of the budget and the merit of the deal under control of the budget department. In terms of the details of the lease that contains the lease agreement, the lease is between the National Public Works and all mutual investment groups. The rate for swimming survey is 41.55 of the lease to 45.7 of the lease. With regard to Guadalupe Satellite Office, the lease is also on a month to month. ICD has submitted the first for the new community to include the challenges in terms of the community to it must be noted that particularly in this area there has been challenges in getting an appropriate accommodation for wildlife problems. However, the ICD is still waiting there for in terms of the detail of the lease, the parties involved there is National Public Works and Local Distribution Department. And the rate per square meter is 1 rand at the inception of the lease to 6.9 cents. In terms of the Limpopo Provincial Office, this term is 5 years and the termination date is June 2015. In terms of the detail of the lease, the lease is 5 years have been taken in the practice in all the National Public Works and the store CTYSD. The rate for 20 years ranges from 5 months at the inception of the contract to 1.51 at the termination of the contract. With regard to the Nipopo Satellite Office, the lease is open for 5 years, termination for 1st August 2014. And in terms of the detail of the lease, the parties involved the National Public Works and the Minister, and a rate per square meter ranges from 50 rand at the inception of the contract to 65.40. Line of the Minister Office. The lease is currently on month to month and we're waiting to submit a documentation to public work to pursue an alternative building. And we are awaiting a response to this that also from public work in terms of the comments of this building. We have communicated also our concern funding of this building in line with our. In terms of the detail of the contract, the parties involved is National Public Works and Enterprise Property, and the rate per square meter ranges from 70 rand of inspection of the contract to 77 rand of the termination of the contract. With regard to the northern chain of the rent contract, the list is the CA list and the terminates the 1st May 2012. ITD has already submitted the documentation with regard to the renewal of the contract and we are waiting to publish the funding of the extension of the contract. In terms of the detail of the leads the parties involved, National Department of Public Works, and DS Papenella. They raised the permit arrangement from 18% at the inception of the contract to 95% at the termination of the contract. With regard to the Northern Cape Satellite Partnership, the lease is also for 2 years and 10 years with the Ministry of Health, and also submitted to the Communication International Public Works for the renewal of the contract and the letter of 290,000 in public. In terms of the detail of the contract, the parties involved in the National Public Works and the threat of the community provide us to meet. And better, and more joint venture. The rate of furniture reduced from the England, the furniture and stretching of the contract to the 7 lines. With regard to the Northwest provincial office, the list of 2 years and 10 days in the 31st July 2014. The detail of the contract. The parties involved, National Department of Public Works, and Matthew James, and we raised the furniture range from 24% at the inception of the contract to 8% at the beginning of the contract. With regard to Northwest Satellite Office, the lease is currently on month to month until the new one is finalized at CCW. I believe that the major office in the nation to DPW and to support their country. The detail of the satellite office contract is the public involved in the public and the rate is going to be arranged from 85 lines. With regard to Western provincial office, the lease term is 2 years and 10 years to the first month of 2020. And with regard to this, we also have to include confirmation of the entire allocation and to the provincial office for the same. And with regard to the detail of this list, the parties involved National Public Works and SES 114. The rate for furniture ranges from 1 line, the furniture in section of the to the 60 tons, 11 tons, at 10 meters. The ICD has also made a request for the satellite office. Not yet part of our portfolio, we anticipate to have this process for us during the course of this coming semester. Thank you. Forward, if you have a total picture of the future, starting to be on space. cleaning is one of the things that we need to do for every month-to-month version of sewer. Now, one of the thoughts of this recommendation to the people is that we do everything in terms of the rural distribution of the thing we want. And also, looking at the scale of the building of the organization. Now, the issue is not that
every one of the 16 buildings they have nationwide. Now, you've existed as an entity for many, many years, and I would imagine that rather than pouring 22 million rand a year into the pockets of landlords, that you would now have permanent ICD buildings. So it's quite extraordinary to see that you actually, as an entity, do not own a single one. And here we sit. Yeah, please, just tell me that at least you have told Public Works you wish to have permanent buildings. I'd like to know the answer to that. I'd also like to know what percentage of your total annual budget goes to paying your annual rental out of the budget that is given to you by Parliament. And then looking through your leases, the fact that they're expired, Eastern Cape, everywhere. KZN, Gauteng, Northwest, some indecipherable name at Public Works, you say, has signed there, but that expired last year anyway. And here you sit with 7 month-to-month leases. Now, we just have the unpleasant job of sitting with SAPS and hearing that they have, on occasion, arrived at their rented premises and been locked out because Public Works hadn't paid the rent. Now, I want to know if you have at any stage experienced a similar situation. And really, it just seems to me that Public Works is doing everything it can to hamstring your division and ensure that you focus entirely on the fact that you have a roof over your heads and not entirely on the fact that you have a job to do. I want to know what guarantee this committee has that when you become the IPID in March, a bigger entity, far larger job description, as it were, that again, you won't be sitting wondering if you're going to be booted out of your premises overnight, which could easily happen in any one of the 7 month-to-month leases, and in fact, many of the others are about to expire, and I'm guessing Tell me I'm wrong, but I'm guessing that you have absolutely no idea if Public Works is going to renew the lease, give you another. You might end up with 16 month-to-month leases. We don't know. So it's an appalling situation, and I'd like to know that at least you are talking to Public Works, asking them to purchase properties and to please renew these leases that expired sometime 6, 7, 8 months ago. It's absolutely appalling situation.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, a couple of questions as well. The first one is related to the question around the expired leases. I'm more interested to find out at what point in time did the ICD engage with the Department of Public Works on each of these expired leases. With other words, was it done in time? And what worries me is the fact that many of these expired leases are 2010 already, and we sit in the year 2012. So can we get an indication for each of those? When was the engagement originated? Where are we in the process, et cetera, et cetera? Then in terms of the Western Cape office, you talk about a lease agreement that is there for 2 years. But you haven't moved in the past. So was this contract extended before? I mean, because I don't think that's really a true reflection of what's the situation in the Western Cape. That office was occupied before this current 2 years that you're speaking about. So how long have the ICD been in that office? What was the start of the rental per month? And in terms of where we stand now, because in my mind, if I remember correctly, the ICD has been in that office for longer than just what is reflected here on paper. It's been there before. Also in terms of the Western Cape, can the ICD indicate to us, I think it's a question we've asked before, what informs your decisions about satellite offices and where they must be located? In my mind, coming from the Western Cape, a region that I believe is there are serious problems, and that one pick up is your rural communities in the Karoo and that area, Beaufort West, the areas that cover Oudtshoorn, etc. So what informs the decision to determine where a satellite office will be established? Structural building. Have you recovered the money that was laid out in terms of the cabling? Was that money recovered? And then also in terms of, because you've already been in this situation where you were told to vacate an office, the Mercedes-Benz office, and we have been informed that there's been some legal action around the fact that the ICD didn't move out of the office at the time that it was supposed to move out, and that there is a legal action on the go, and that we're talking from a 2 million to a 9 million. That's the stories we're hearing. Can we get a rundown on what is the situation around the Mercedes-Benz building? And then I would also like to find out, what is the ICD's policy regarding parking for its employees? Because if you look at many of these contracts, the parking expenditure is quite high in terms of the monthly rental. I think there are some of the provinces, if I remember correctly, where it's more than 10% of the monthly rental, the parking expenditure. Is it policy with the ICD that the ICD provide parking to its employees and at the cost of the ICD? Because I'm just interested in, because I know for a fact that that's not policy in all state departments. And I mean, you just have to look at Parliament, for instance, where staff have got to make provision for their own parking. You can look at the offices of the state law advisor in town, where only senior personnel are getting parking. So can we get an indication what is the policy around this? Around the issue of parking. I'm raising this question, Chairperson, because if you start adding up what the parking cost of the ICD is, it becomes quite a significant amount. I think that's for the moment all. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question has to do with some of the remarks the Chairperson made about the Katumena problems. And the question there is, the executive director said the report first surfaced in December. Now, I want to know whether this information that ICD got, was it through the media? Is ICD dependent on the media to know about the conduct of the police? Can that be, is the reason because people do not trust ICD, or do not know that ICD's responsibility is to look into complaints about the problems of police misconduct? My second question is about withholding payment for rental for 60 buildings. Now, when payment is not made, who does maintenance for the building? Because the director also said there are serious lighting defects. Now, what is being done about those serious lighting defects, and who's taking responsibility for that? Because I assume that if there's no payment of rental, that maintenance is not done by the landlord. If I'm wrong, I need to be corrected. Third question. We're told that it is difficult to find suitable buildings for the ICD. And going through the presentation, and my question also is going to link to what Honorable Konabana said also, there is no indication that a request is being made or an attempt is being made to build buildings that will meet, that will be suitable and meet the requirements of the ICD. Why is there no request? That because we cannot find a suitable building, that we need to have a building of our own. And looking at the suitability of locations of ICD lease accommodation, I heard that even Pangeni is the only, was the one that was mentioned that is not accessible.
And Bethlehem as well.
And Bethlehem as well. All right. Now, is there anything that's been done about that? Because if they are not accessible for people with that are physically handicapped or challenged, are those people denied services because of buildings that are not accessible? And what is being done? Is ICD resigned that there's nothing can do, or what is being done about it? And lastly, is there any time frame? If something is being done, can we be told by when will these buildings be accessible, so that the physically challenged can also be able to come to the ICD with problems? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. If you look at slide number 5, it talk about monthly payments, and it's the monthly amount payable to the annual payments. And you look at the I'm trying to link up what the honourable member Kulabona said about the buying of the building and so on. Just look at KwaZulu-Natal provincial office. It's the only office that have run about more expensive in rental in all these other offices. And if you come to 2015, you'll run about 2 million rand per annum. My problem, which I'm trying to raise here, Jefferson, is that every now and then we talk about leasing. This budget that is put here, these figures that are put here up to 2015, they are saying that we are going to spend on about 25 million rand. On leases. Maybe you can get something somewhere before that, I don't know. What is really happening with these leases? Is the department, is the ICD taking into account what their expenses are. Because if you compare the expenses and what you want to achieve at the end of the day, if you pay more than what you are getting at the end of the day, it seems as if to me that you are paying more, but you always shrink up in properties that we are having. In other words, if you are staying in a 10-room house, you are paying less than a person who's paying in a 4-room house. A person who's staying in a 4-room house is paying more than what we are paying. That's where my problem comes. And secondly, Chairperson, when it comes to the leases to the different areas, if you take about Northwest, I'm just using an example. You deal with somebody else in Northwest because you are dealing with another company. But the department gives you somebody else to deal with somebody else if you are dealing with that company, and then give you somebody else when you are dealing with another company from Public Works. Is that your idea to have a different people dealing with different leases? I'm just using that as an example. If you are using KwaZulu-Natal or whatever provinces you want to quote, you are using the other person from Public Works that you consult with. But in the same province again, you're using somebody else from Department of Public Works, and Public Works is using a different person, but in the same province, dealing with the same list, and you find that the list is not standard, it's not standardized, it's not the same amount, but it's a different amount. If I can get clearance out of that, Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is very linked to what Honorable Ndlovu was asking. Mine is, who determines the rates for these buildings? And how is it determined? Is it standardized or what? And my other question is on the escalating of rent. Why is it that it varies from province to province? So some provinces have 9%, some 8%, some 10%. Can you maybe enlighten me there? My other question is on the, how far are you in recovering the funds that were utilized in refurbishing and installing cables in the building that was later occupied by the Department of Human Settlement? How far are you in recovering those funds? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. I've only got two questions. My first question is, with what we had in terms of Department of Public Works, are you also experiencing the same problems? Because last week we heard that there are serious problems. You see, because I'm worried about you also this month-to-month rental. Isn't that a recipe for problems? The other one is, you said that when you were talking about the DPW invoices, you just mentioned in passing that you said there is still a problem with the invoices. Can you just, what do you mean when you say there are still problems with the DPW invoices? What are the problems? Because last week we had a lot of fun things. Thank you, madam.
Thanks, Chairperson, and let me thank the presenters. My question is on slide number 8 regarding the National Office of the ICD. I just want to be clarified on a bullet point number 2, the process. a commencement date as specified in the lease agreement was March 1st, and the occupation took place in 2010, September. Why did it take so long for the occupation? What was happening? Was rent being paid, or rent started being paid after occupation? That's the first question. The second question is on page slide number 35. Slide number 35, Northwest Provincial Office, where the lease agreement wasn't signed. Actually, the date doesn't have the date. It doesn't show when was it signed, but the commencement date was the 1st of August. Why did that happen, and what did ICG do to find out when this document or the agreement was signed? The other thing is with regard to this, I'm not sure of the commencement, because what does commencement mean? Does it mean the commencement of the negotiations on the lease agreement, or the commencement of the occupation? Why am I asking this? Because in some offices, you find that the commencement was done before and occupation took place later. In the others, occupation took place and the commencement came later. So I'm not sure what's happening. Can I be clarified? Maybe I'm not sure of these processes. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Chair. I think some of the questions were covered, but the challenge is that most of the offices, most of the provinces, month to month, and it creates more problems, and it undermines even this government. I think if we can sit down with the Department of Works, I think the challenges will be less than this. Thanks.
My question is the following. Am I correct if I say that, as far as I know the process, that the ICG in itself cannot, for instance, buy a building? The national policy is that only the Department of Public Works can go into an agreement to lease a building or even buy a building when it comes to the government. And if, because that is the impression I have, and if I'm correct, then we have a problem, because the ICG, as far as I know the process, can only put in a lease assessment. And then it's in the hands of Public Works, and they come back with proposals. So in a certain sense, the ICG's hands are cut off when it comes to that. Yes, they can look into the lease assessment and to the proposal. So the problem comes in the process with DPW. Now I want to ask. I see that, for instance, the external processes that was in some involvement with the DPW in December, a couple of meetings, and one of the good things is that there is now a better relation and communication. But Jefferson, a better relation and communication does not solve the problem. For instance, if I look at the satellite offices of the Northwest, I see that the lease of the satellite office expired by October 2011. The request from the ICB was already in November 2010. It's almost a year before the end of the lease. In this communication and better relations with DPW, Whilst the question out. But listen, almost a year before the expiring of the lease, we requested to further the lease. What are the reasons given by the DPW that it is taking so long? What is the process problem? Because as far as I'm concerned, that is the form of the leases when it comes to the ICD and even other state departments. Thank you.
Before your question, you said something about cattle manager, Jefferson, and then you said that the ICD went through, get the information from the media. And if I recall, you raised this thing. This is the third time when I'm in a meeting you raised this cattle manager problem. I would like to understand it from the ICD point of view. You see, Chairperson, if a problem has been raised and the ICD take action thereafter from the media, it seems as if their offices that they have does not give them information. Is that true or not? Because if Cattle Manor is within Devon, and there are offices in Devon. Excuse me. Therefore, if the information comes from the media instead of their offices, and come from different sources instead of their offices, and they react to the media, they will always react. My question, therefore, Chairperson, through you to them, is that they will always react to what they've been told through the other source, or they have these offices in order to feed them every now and then. That's my problem, because the action that has been taken now, suspension or whatever, it's a secondary one. But the first one, it's where the problem starts. How do you get your information? Is your information you get it from the other source instead of getting from your source, or it is reported from you according to the constitution of the country? Thanks, Chair.
No, thank you very much, and thank you, members. ICT, you on page 10, you are saying the ICD indicates that the rent estimated in the DPW's preliminary cost analysis is in excess of the ICD's budget. Can you explain that, and what then? What has happened in that regard? And I think the question has been asked by members to say, on this month-to-month leases, who is responsible for the maintenance of these buildings? At what cost? I noted with interest the fact that, I think on page 21 and 23, you seem to be paying more in terms of your rentals per square meter. You are paying more for your satellite office than your provincial office. Your satellite office is in Bangen, or at Bangen, and you're paying 61 rand per square meter, and probably or you were paying that, and towards the end of that you were then paying 66.45, and for the office you're paying 41 rand, your provincial office, and 45. Yes, it could be that it was not at the same time, but for your first day it was in 2009 to 2010, and for your second year it was still 2009 to 2010, paying 45 rand. And this one is in Durban, and the other one is in Bangen. And the question maybe that one would want to ask is whether you do look into these issues to say, but
your rent is what is too high in terms of square meters, and the area where the building is located. You know, I'm just asking that question, and I think probably this might apply to other areas as well. And for your provincial office, you've not allocated any cost for parking bays and parking costs. What does this mean? Is it that you're not paying for parking there? And if not, what then is happening to the staff in terms of parking? Seemingly, from what you've presented to us, all buildings that you are occupying are privately owned buildings. And I wonder as to whether you've ever considered to occupy the state-owned buildings. Have you found out from the public works if there aren't state-owned buildings that are white elephants somewhere there, and probably that can actually be occupied? Because I think we know quite a number of them. I also want to get clarity on your slide 42. You said current review of departmental financial delegation. Can you explain as to what that means, so that we understand exactly as to what this means? I understand that with your city forum, probably you've suspended your rental payment, but you are occupying the building. What are the implications? You are in the building, occupying it, but you're not paying for rent. What are the implications? I really want to know, because it's not like you're not occupying the building. You are in the building as we speak. However, you're not paying rent. And what are the implications? I'm just asking. Thank you. Executive Director.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. I'll ask Mr. Soko to deal with most of the public works issues. Maybe in terms of Cato Manor, the questions raised by the Honourable Meshu and the Honourable Ndlovu. I think it's important to note that the report that was published in December referred to cases, mostly cases where there was class ones. That's where people died as a result of police action. Most of the cases, they were investigated by ICD or they were with ICD. Of course, with most of these kind of situations, witnesses that can corroborate what happened at a specific scene is important thing to take it forward. And of course, that also relates to other reports, be it pathological reports and so on and so on. Now, in these specific instances, after the report was published, certain information came to the fore. Witnesses approached our task team with specific information for the first time. Now, of course, that information must be evaluated, whether the witnesses can really, is it just hearsay evidence, were they really on the scene, what is the interest in the matter and so forth. So, most of those cases were ICD dockets or files. In the process of the investigation, or they were not finalized yet and so forth. So it relates to those information. So as a result of the report that was published in the Sunday Times, of course we've appointed a task team, and witnesses contacted the task team or came forward. Of course, some of them, it's very sensitive. It's very difficult, and in the end of the day, to ensure that you have got prosecution successfully, those witnesses must be able to go to court. We must have sworn affidavits from them. Some of them are not prepared to come forward in that context. So it's very difficult. It's not an easy case. So in terms of our operational procedure, there's a certain procedure that must be followed by the investigators. They must follow the standing operating procedures to ensure that we finalized cases that we are able to submit to the DPP or not. Now, our current review of the cases, look at each of those cases to say, well, was the SOPS followed by ICD, KZN? If it no, was not followed, the new team reconstruct the whole matter, build up the docket, and we will then come with certain recommendations. If the SOPS was followed and there is no evidence of wrongdoing of the police, that won't be taken forward. So our process is also an external review of what happened, specifically in the cases of the Cato Manor cases that was handled by ICD, that 51 cases, to make sure whether the SOPS was followed and if the evidence now being made available by those witnesses can ensure that we can get prosecutions. So that process is underway. So I think it's with any police unit around the world where you will have somebody from that unit maybe making information available for the first time, or it will come in the public domain, then it's up to the oversight institution to follow it up. But in the normal course of things, such cases won't, in your, it won't come to us, you know, by complaint, especially in terms of the seriousness of the allegations and the players involved. So if you look at Cato Manor, we are reviewing all those files. We're looking at all the SOPS, was it followed or not? And as a result of our initial assessment, we made certain decisions. But we are hopeful that by mid May we will be able to finalise most of the matters that is currently under review.
Madam Chair, the question was, I think she is not answering the question. The question is, did you start your investigation because of the media publications, which we all got, or you were already investigating before? I think that's what we want to understand. Was your investigation sparked by the media, or you were already investigating these cases?
Yeah. And I'm definitely not going to allow any other follow-up on this question because it's not the subject for the day. It's taking us out of what we are here for, Honorable.
I actually also wanted to plead for that because I think it's important that we at some point do discuss the issue, not even in detail because it's under investigation, because it points to a bigger problem. It points to the fact that there is no proper oversight on ICD investigations, even from the directorate investigations at the national level, on if you've got continuous repetitions of crime or death by a certain unit that, and you don't find guilty, that you should focus in on it, that you should zoom in on it. So I would plead that we put it on the agenda for some point to talk about investigations and how to take the process forward, because it points to a problem within, I almost want to use the word command and control within the ICD as well. And I'm worried it's diverting our attention.
And Chairperson, also what I also wanted to ask, with a question, do members of the public know that the ICD is there to receive complaints against police brutality, for example? If they see something, do they run to the media, to inform the media, or do they go to the ICD? Because it's important that members of the public must know that ICD is there to deal with this matter, rather than think the person who can do something about it is a journalist.
I'm definitely not going to take any other follow-up. Executive Director, we ask questions that were related to people killed during riots in Mpumalanga. And the answers that were received were saying Detective so-and-so investigated the case and the case is closed. Detective so-and-so investigated this and the case is closed and so on. And my follow-up question was to say, what was the role of ICD in all this? Because if you keep on referring us to detectives, that is sub-detectives, and therefore you've accepted that the case is closed, but what was the role of ICD? I'm just raising it to say it might necessarily not be the Cato Manor problem only. It could be in other areas as well, where all that you get is that the ICD is
it becomes very satisfied with the outcomes of SAPS investigations that are investigating other SAPS members. And sitting here, we know for a fact that they will cover up their colleagues. And it comes to us to say, case closed, and without any clear role of ICT. But I'm saying we're leaving this matter. Unless you want to just comment on the very question that was asked, and then we're closing this matter.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, that is the problem with Chapter 10 of the SAPS Act, where the referral by ICT to matters of SAPS, I mean, was apart from the Clause 1, was the standing approach. And I mean, that is where the problem comes in. So I think the new IPED Act will address that, where ICD must investigate those cases. So I think we'll be able to deal with that. In terms of the questions raised, whether the public knows about the ICD and the media, in terms of the Cato Manor matter, the task team was appointed after the media incident. Now, in terms of other incidents that take place, of course there's complaints coming to us, the police must notify us, but there's also cases that we pick up in the media and then we investigate. So it's a mixed bag.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The issue with regard to why ICD is leasing all properties and not owning any of the properties, I think our understanding with the DPW processes and how their procurement processes work is that first of all, when we do an assessment, and need an assessment and forward to them, firstly, they should look at government-owned buildings where they should accommodate a department like ours. So in terms of their process, the first priority should be a government-owned building. If they do not then have a government-owned building in the area where we request accommodation, then they will look at either procuring a building for us or leasing a building for us or leasing a building for us. My understanding, for instance, with regard to the head office when this process started on this controversial building was that the initial request from ICD was for the procurement for public works to build a building for ICD. And the response we got was that the ICD was a too small a department for that purpose. Now, with regard to the current engagement that we have had with public works, specifically with regard to the user management plan, these are the issues that we have raised with them with regard to building ICD buildings for us. Their response to us is that they are looking at overhauling their whole procurement process as a result of negative publicity that they've had with regard to how they procure buildings for government departments. And this is something that they will look at in terms of getting buildings for departments. But the question is that where the request, for instance, our satellite offices are small, you don't require a big building, for instance. There's a small building where you have four staff members, for instance. The question is that it may be difficult to get an own building in that regard. So our current position is that we continue to engage with them in this regard. We have also submitted to them a user management plan, and these are the issues that we continue to raise with them with regard to getting our own building. But the reality is that at the end of the day, it's upon them to be able to procure an appropriate building for us. There was a question as to what percentage of our annual budget base pays for our leases. Our calculations indicate that it's about 15% of our budget, or total budget, that goes towards our buildings, our lease payments. Whoever has experienced a problem with regard to lockout, we can report that recently there was an issue in the KwaZulu-Natal office where...
The 15%, my apologies for interrupting you.
Yes.
The 15% takes into account the city forum.
Yes, it takes into account the city forum.
Right now.
Yes.
If you were to pay less than that, for instance, you were to pay the amount that was
right,
for Fatura, it would
definitely come. It would go down, yes. Yes, yes. With regard to the problems you experienced with regard to lockout, we had a recent situation in our KwaZulu-Natal office where staff members were refused access to the parking base, allegedly because Public Works had not paid the landlord. We've engaged with Public Works in this regard. I think it's been, this situation has happened, I think it's about 2 weeks now, and it has not yet been resolved. We're still engaging with Public Works to try to get it resolved.
That's been going on for 2 weeks. Is that office virtually shut down?
No. Only the parking.
Only the
parking. So the staff there cannot access the parking.
Can I just also make a follow-up question? It's 15% of your budget that goes to leases, and what is the percentage of your budget that goes to salaries? If maybe you can, even if you estimate.
Chairperson, I don't have the information. I'll try and get the information for you. We'll try and get the information, Chairperson. When we have it, we'll inform the committee. Okay. As to whether we have a guarantee that we never be put it out of our offices, to be quite honest, I cannot say with certainty to the committee that we have that guarantee. What I can assure the committee is that since our experience with the issue of our leases, we continue to engage with Public Works on a continuous basis. And we hope that we will never get into a situation where we are put out of our buildings. If I may ask around our engagement with Public Works, at what time do we engage with them when we want to renew our contracts? The engagements have been varying, ma'am. Most of our engagements are before the lease actually expires. We have had, however, I think it's about two provinces where the engagement has been a month after the lease has expired. I think that is why the issue that we've raised of strengthening our internal processes, and also in terms of strengthening the role of the accommodation committee and ensuring that the compliance with regard to ensuring that we make requests to Public Works as early as possible happens, so that we don't have a situation where we wait until the contract has terminated before we request for a renewal.
You see, for me, that's a crucial point. Because if you look at you say there's the most is before the time. The fact of the matter is that it's actually not the case. And I mean, I would request that we get in writing when they did so. Because if you look at the Eastern Cape, for instance, it was done on the 17th of December 2010. The contract ended December 2010. Now, knowing December 2010, knowing December, the month of December, the 17th is already end of month proper, if you think about businesses, etc. If you look at the satellite office in Eastern Cape, it was done the month after the contract has ended. Surely there should be a standing procedure that says 6 months or a year or 8 months or whatever before the contract ends, we are going to engage with Public Works and we're going to start putting pressure on them to get us either new accommodation or to renew the contract if we are satisfied with it. So for me, and that's where I want us to be careful as well as a committee in terms of just blaming Public Works. There's responsibilities on the parent departments here as well in terms of making sure that as the service provider, they give you the service that you are entitled to. And I think that is one of the shortcomings here, is that there is no fixed procedure within the department that 6 months before your contract comes to an end, we follow up with the Department of Public Works, we say our contract is coming to an end in 6 months' time, this is what we want you to do. I just want to make that point here, because I'm highlighting those two for you, but if you, and that's why I requested that we get for each of these that are still outstanding, that we get, that are month to month, that we get the process dates as you've done for the Eastern Cape Provincial Office, please.
So you want to assure myself, does the ICD have copies of every one of the leases? You know, that's quite an achievement, because looking, I mean, SAP just said we've never seen the leases on most of the instances. So you've actually got that far. I just wanted to make sure. So in fact, you've messed up and messed up badly by not, I don't know why one should have to remind Public Works that their leases are coming to an end, but either way, I suppose because they run the way they are, you do have to. So that does fall on you. I'm glad you put a process in place, but I'm quite astounded that you've managed to get hold of those copies of the leases, because apparently it's, from what we've heard from SAPS, it's almost an impossibility. Yeah, indeed. Thanks.
I think the department should interact with DPW that our lease is about to come to an end, and surely there must be a process in place, because there is cost involved, there is budget involved, there are cost escalations, which the department must be able to say, yes, we'll be able to pay for this building, we are paying with this cost escalation, or we not, get us another building. So that probably a cheaper building. I think that there is a need for negotiating between the two departments, so that then, otherwise if you leave it in the hands of the DPW alone, then they're going to come with the city forum and give it to you. Then we are in this. They gave you a building, city forum, at a particular cost, which we can't afford. And that is why there is a need for communication. And I think I agree fully to say, surely it can't happen on the last day of the lease, or last month of the lease. It should happen well in advance. Surely there are people responsible for that. And you're lucky not to have too many leases. If you can.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Honourable Van Wyk. It is true, and we acknowledge that also from our side, there has been a lag in terms of monitoring those expired leases. And hence we indicated that we put internal processes in place in terms of ensuring that there are early signs in making these requests to DPW. One of the things that we have established is that there was no enough involvement from provinces in terms of engagement in this process, because mostly it was left to head office auxiliary. So the process that we're engaging in now is ensuring that the issue of the leases becomes part of an integral part of the performance agreements of the provincial heads and head of administration in the provinces, so that they ensure that they do all these processes far beforehand, so that we are able to alert Public Works in terms of the termination of the lease. It is true also that it has budgetary implications. Hence, you will see from our slide, we indicate that where we received the cost analysis from the Department of Public Works, and the cost analyses are in excess of what our budget allocation is. We have responded to them that whereas we received your cost analysis, we can only commit the department to the extent of our budget allocation. That comes to the question that you raised. What do you mean by the estimate are in excess of our budget? And that's what we've communicated to public works, that henceforth we not just accept the cost analysis that they send us, but we say to them, we received your cost analysis, but in terms of our budget, this is what we have, and therefore you must go and renegotiate whatever buildings you do in line with what we can be able to afford as a department.
Also, just there, I will go to members as well. If you are saying it is left in the hands of DPW to decide whether there is a building available which is owned by the state or a building available for you to buy and so on and so forth. But I'm just talking about this city forum. According to the letter that we received from Mr. Shaba, Vanikerk paid 59 million for city forum. Imagine if it was yourself buying city forum at 59 million. You would have saved all these millions that you're going to pay. You know, I'm just saying that to say, I wonder whether you yourself could not actually be saying our preference here is to purchase, and this is the amount we have for purchasing a building. It comes from yourself to say we would want to purchase a building. Please look for a building that we can buy, so that we can then have a building of our own, then be paying all these monies. You know that. Take us to billions or millions if you actually and if we're going to be continuing like this for yet another 20 years to come, I mean really 15% is a lot of money. Honorable analyst.
The fact that that you are willing to say we don't have the budget raises immediately the question, why didn't you say it for this building that you're currently in? Why didn't you say, we don't have the budget for it? You've just said to us, I can't remember which office it is, the one that you refer to now.
Yes.
Which office is it?
We did that for Western Cape office.
Western Cape office.
Yes. And other offices also.
It immediately raises the question, why didn't you say it for the building that you are now in, that you shouldn't be in, that is bigger than what you wanted, and it's far more expensive than what you wanted.
What are the implications, therefore, Jefferson, if you've already occupied the building, and then you say that I don't have money? What are the implications?
You're already in, then you're saying that I don't have the budget.
Let's continue. You please answer the question. I think we did have a long discussion on City Forum and all these issues. I think what you were reporting to us is the fact that after that meeting, this is what has happened to an extent that you are now no longer paying the rent. And that is why there is now a question that goes to that aspect of not paying the rent but already occupying the building, to say what are the implications, legal implications, under those circumstances. But otherwise, we really did have a lengthy discussion on City Forum.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you're right. There was that kind of discussion. And the issues raised by members, yes, are valid. I think when you go back to the issue of City Forum, you'll remember that from our presentation we had indicated the issue of the swap and our understanding of the structural commitment that we had made. And from our point of view, because of the legal opinion that we received, and this is the communication that we sent also to Public Works, and we've indicated that there's going to be continuous engagement, because then we have to engage with Public Works to say then what happens in this kind of a situation, because the legal opinion says we may not be complying with the PFMA if we continue to pay this building when there's an issue with regard to the validity of the lease itself. So we're taking this on advisement, and we're also waiting for the outcome of that of the PP investigation.
border.
Jefferson, currently the building is still maintained by the landlord. We've made reference to the issue of latent defects to the building, and something that we have engaged with Public Works from day one that we occupied the building. The issues of the lifts that were, are not working, the flooding that happens at the basement and so forth. And there has been continuous engagement with Public Works in this regard, to an extent that at some point Public Works had indicated that they will put the landlord in mora and then take over the maintenance of the building themselves. This, however, has not happened as yet. So even in this situation, we still continue to engage. We receive correspondences from both Public Works and the landlord that they are in the process of fixing these latent defects. The latest correspondence we received was to the effect that the leaves have been affected by water, and they are going to get new parts from China, and they'll be coming soon to fix this leaf. So it's just a continuous engagement with them, and unfortunately it takes long. And Public Works seem to be reluctant to act against the landlord in terms of fixing all these latent defects that we've referred to. There was an issue that was raised by Honorable Member Van Veek with regard to Western Cape, as to what informs the location of the satellite offices. What we normally look at our statistics in terms of where do we receive most cases, and then in terms of the location itself, we look at the town where we want to have our satellite office. How accessible is it to the communities that we serve? For instance, if it's a central point where people normally do business coming from different places, we consider those kind of effects to decide whether we place a satellite office there. Hence, we've indicated, for instance, that with regard to Bethlehem, our initial statistics has indicated that we're receiving a lot of cases there also. But 2 or 3 years down the line, we realized that we're actually receiving more cases. We're getting more cases in the Congo area than in the Bethlehem area. And when you look at the distances, almost the same distances from the main office. Hence, the decision we took to move the satellite office to the Kwakwa. And hence, the request now is that we can to the satellite office in Kwakwa and rather than in Bethlehem. The issue of the satellite is something that is continuing over the 5 year period. We'll continue to get satellite offices to different provinces. We've taken a decision also that also in Gauteng we must make sure that we are more accessible, and therefore have a satellite office also in the Swan area, which will be at the head office.
What about Mpumalanga? Because even in Mpumalanga there's no satellite office. In all the provinces there are satellite offices except for Mpumalanga and Gauteng. And Western, no, there is a satellite office. Or not yet, but at least they are intending. But you're saying Gauteng.
Yes, Jefferson. The coming financial year, the satellite offices that we'll be establishing is one for Gauteng, Tshwane, which will be based at the Victoria head office, and one for Mpumalanga office, which will be Kwamhlanga. Those will be satellite office. George satellite office for Western Cape, we also in the process of getting that. There was an issue with regard to...
Because you reflected on the Western Cape, and you reflected the fact that you have established a needs analysis, et cetera, et cetera. So why is the Mpumalanga and Tshwane one not reflected?
It's a new budget.
And then also take this in scale, because we're looking at the forward-looking, the presentation is forward-looking. And then also, Jefferson, the other question about the Western Cape Provincial Office, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Mpumalanga satellite office, we've made provision for the staff members for the establishment of that office for the coming financial year. We realize that we did not include the office itself in the presentation. However, it forms part of our user management plan for 13-14 for establishment of those offices in those jurisdictions. For the Gauteng office, like was indicated, to be based at our head office, so there won't be a need for offices specifically for that Swane satellite office. With regard to your question on the Western Cape, I must indicate the honourable member that there has been an error in our summary there. When you look at the detailed information on slide 39, you realise that the lease period is actually 5 years, not 2 years, as was indicated on the summary, and the termination date is actually the 31st of March 2012, and not 2013, as is indicated there. So it was an error in that regard. The error on page 38, where we indicate the lease term as 2 years instead of 5 years, and the termination date as 31st March 2013 instead of 2012. You will see this information is contained in slide 39, whether the detail of the contract in terms of the lease itself. When I move on,
which means it's in a month's time, is that correct?
Yes.
It's lapsing.
Yes. But we've indicated that we've already made a request for renewal also in respect of this.
Yeah, I see that, Jefferson, but this one worries me again, because the 30th of January says that the estimated rent is too much, but the very next budget says that the ICD confirmed budget is available for the cost. So which one is it?
Chairperson, we've indicated that we send this analysis, and they send cost analysis to us, and their cost analysis will come at came at a higher rate than what we've estimated our budget for. Hence, in our response to them, because they cannot proceed with the process until we've confirmed the budget. So in our response to them in terms of confirmation of budget, we say we can only confirm to the extent of what our budget is, and we indicate what the budget is, which is lower than what their cost analysis was. And basically a request to them from us is that they must renegotiate their contracts in line with our budget. Because what we consider where we request a renewal, for instance, we consider what is it that we're currently paying, and in terms of the escalation that is in the contract, what we project will be paying in the next 3 years. And then we then confirm our budget in line with that.
But I want to understand this. I'm really trying to read. You are saying, process, 20 May 2009, the ICD requests the renewal of lease of its office in that building that expires in March 2012 for a period of 5 years. I just want to understand the fact that, and then you are saying 16 September 2011, the ICD reaffirmed its request for the renewal of the lease. The ICD indicates additional arrangements to cater for changes in respect of IP. What does this mean in terms of the existing lease?
the ICD assesses its accommodation needs as 753.6 square meters. In terms of the list that you have, what is this supposed to mean? The DPW communicates the preliminary cost analysis, assesses the ICD's accommodation needs as 862 whatever square meters. The ICD it indicates that the rent estimated in the DPW's preliminary cost analysis is in excess of its budget, but the ICD confirms its budgetary allocation as funding available for the list. What is this whole story supposed to mean? I really want to understand.
Okay, let me explain, Chairperson. What this means is that on the 20th of March 2009, we requested DPW for a renewal of this contract, which ends 31st March 2012, that it should be renewed for another 5 years, at least for another 5 years. Now, unfortunately, most of the time when we send this, we don't get prompt responses from DPW. And the next one says 16 September 2011. The ICD reaffirms now its request for the renewal. Now we say the communication that we sent to you initially, we're confirming that. But because now there are developments in terms of IPED, there will be new posts in that office, which means we need more office space. We now reassess and say we need now additional office space. And then we indicate now that assessment, and we indicated it to them as 753 square meters. Now, October 2011, DPW communicates the preliminary cost analysis to us. Because they do the preliminary cost, and also they, after doing an assessment of our needs, they will indicate that in terms of our norms and standards, even though you say you want 753, we have calculated your cost to be at this 862. And then they give us this cost analysis that says for us to procure you this kind of building, or to extend or to renew this kind of building, it will cost ICD so much. Now, when we look at those figures, we say these figures far exceed what we projected. Now, hence we say that we indicated that we confirmed to them our budgetary allocation. Now, we say to them, this is what you gave us as your cost analysis for you to procure this or to renew this contract for us. But we are saying as ICD, in terms of our budget, this is what we can afford. So basically we're saying to them, go and renegotiate in line with what we can afford.
Also, can they explain to us why they're willing to renegotiate this office that is, according to your own requirements, going to be too small? Because if you look at what you're paying currently for it, and you divide that in terms of your monthly rent, it's 690 square meters. Now, you've estimated with ICE that you're going to need 700 and something. So why are you renegotiating something that's already going to be too small for your first phase of implementing ICE?
Yeah, I think members must be aware that when we request the building initially, we give our specific requirements in terms of what kind of square meters we need. But Public Works will then procure the building. So it often happens that when they procure the building that is that has space which is bigger than our needs, but it is petitioned in such a way that we occupy only our need. Now, in those situations, and where we request a renewal is because we will be aware that in that building they can be able to extend that space to fit in with our needs. And that is the only time when we request renewal. If, in our view, the building is such that it cannot even cater for our increased needs, then we request for an alternative building. And that is the process. That the situation in this case is that when, like, we've requested renewal, it means therefore they can be able to make enough space for our increased needs in this building. And like we've indicated, also Public Works, when it makes its own analysis, if it's of the view that it cannot cater for those needs, then it will indicate to us that that building will never cater for the needs. We have to get an alternative one. Okay, I will move on to the question with regard to, I've addressed the issue of latent defects by Honorable Mishwe. And with regard to accessibility and the time frames, Honorable Mishwe, unfortunately, it is difficult for us to give also specific time frames because we're reliant on Public Works. I think if members would remember also the previous engagements we had where you had invited Department of Public Works. The CEO of Public Works then also indicated that it is their view that departments must now get involved in terms of the negotiations of the contracts and what the actual needs of the department is. Because currently, as things stand, the process is driven by Public Works. We cannot even have any engagements with the landlords. Our engagement only goes as far as after they have issued out a tender and then prospective landlords have responded. Then we go and view the building and we can then say we think this building will be appropriate for us. But all other engagements are Public Works engagements. So, I mean, from what the CEO had indicated at the time and also with our engagement with them, I think they also realized that the fact that they run with the process to the exclusion of the department, it also makes it difficult for us. So I think they are moving now towards an approach that says we need to be involved as departments also in terms of negotiating this lease. Because it also goes to the issues of the rentals itself, what we are paying and so forth. Because we are not brought on board, they negotiate the what is paid and so forth. We never, you know, use our, say, negotiating skills to say, but why should we pay this much, why shouldn't we pay this much? So I think they also realize that it is a problem and they need to move towards us getting more and more involved in the negotiation of these leases. And this also goes to the question by Honorable Ndlovu that the lease at Empangeni office is more expensive than the one at the Durban office. And Durban is a metropole. You would expect that it should be more than Empangeni. Some of the reasons they give us is that where there is a scarcity of buildings, there's a demand, but there is no available buildings. That's where landlords charge more money. That's some of the answers we get from them. But, I mean, for instance, the Empangeni office, it took us 3 years to get that office because they were saying they cannot find a building for us. And we sit with a situation where, in terms of our establishment, we have already supposed to have established that office. Employees have already been employed to work in that office, but there is no building where we can put people. So we basically left in their mercy to say whatever they can get for us, we'll accept that. So that is basically the situation with regard to that. So we also do not have, influence in that regard. But in terms of this engagement that we have, and that is what precipitated this correspondence to them to say, we can no longer allow a situation where you dictate to us every time what you should be paying. You're saying, this is what we have, see how you negotiate to bring the landlords down to what we can afford. This also goes to the question asked by Honorable Musekha as to who determines the rates. Are there standards and norms, and why do escalation rates differ? Like I've indicated, that it is them that negotiate these, also in terms of the escalation rates and so forth. So, because we are not involved in the actual signing of the contract, therefore we do not have we never had a say in terms of these escalations and so forth. There was a question by Honorable George with regard to whether we experiencing the similar problems with SAPS of month-to-month contracts, and what is the problem with regard to DPW invoices. The issue of the month-to-month, as we've indicated, I mean, got 7 leases that are on a month-to-month. Part of the problem that we get from DPW is also that the difficulty in getting a building. But I must say also that the issue of us in some instances where we only made our assessment request at termination could have contributed to this situation. The month-to-month are done by Public Works itself, but also normally when they enter into a month-to-month agreement, they enter it on the same conditions as the current lease. So where the landlord has an obligation to maintain, they'll continue the maintenance. And then with regard to the problems with DPW invoices.
Honestly, I don't understand what you said. Month to month, who is maintaining? Is it DPW or the landlord? And if it is the DPW, is the cost then excluding money for maintenance, or it will still be the same rate, but DPW maintaining, which therefore means you might actually be duplicating. You can be paying twice for the same work or whatever task that are supposed to be executed, the maintenance. Who is doing that? And I'm also referring to the reality of what is happening, because you already have month-to-month leases or agreements. Who is doing them? Are they maintained or they're not maintained?
Thank you, Chairperson. The point I was trying to put forward is that normally, the month-to-month is entered into on the same terms and conditions of the existing contract. So therefore, if on the existing contract, the maintenance was done by the landlord, it will continue to be done by the landlord. The rates will continue to be the same as the rates of the current lease. If the maintenance was done by DPW, then the maintenance will continue to be done by DPW. Like I've indicated earlier, we have situations where we have challenges, specifically, for instance, at head office, where the maintenance is not done as it should. And like I've indicated, that in our view, it appear that our saying that the maintenance is not done as it should be done, like in our current head office, where we've indicated problems with latent defects. Now, the meetings we've had with Public Works are to the effect that this should be done, and where it's not being done, Public Works had promised to take action in terms of taking over the maintenance and deducting the amount incurred from the rent of the landlord. But so far, that has not been done. With regard to the
In other words, the breach of a contract is between the landlord and the Public Works. It's not between them. It's not between you. We only bear the consequences.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the issue of problems with DPW invoices, and this is something that is also ongoing with DPW, we have done our own analysis of what the cost should be, where we found that DPW has billed us what it's not supposed to bill us. We engage with DPW in that regard. We had indicated in our earlier engagements, for instance, the issue where we were billed about 25 million and we queried those kind of bills. So these are the issues that we continue to do. In fact, also next week we have a meeting with them with regard to outstanding invoices as we close the financial year to reconcile what is owed to them and what we believe we owe them, so that we can pay over what is owed to them before the end of the financial year. So it's an ongoing process that we engage them with. There was a question as to the issue of the signed date on the Northwest lease. It does not indicate when was it signed. I think the information that we had received from Public Works did not have the signed date. We have requested that information. Honorable Subia asked about the month-to-month. I've addressed that.
My understanding of Bobby's question.
Mm.
One. Let's make an example of, I think I saw it somewhere. It's a question that's not the question because it's common. The lease is concluded. Let's make your national office. The lease is concluded on the 14th of April 2009. You occupied on 15th September 2010. Now, the question was, who bear the cost within that period? You see, because now you got up more than a year, the lease has been concluded. You only move in more than a year later. That's, though it's general in almost all your... But I think the question, who bear the cost of this period? Because you have concluded the lease, but you're not occupying the office until 15 September, like the example on this one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that one relates again to the controversial head office lease, because the occupation was almost a year after the lease was entered into. We have already indicated that initially, from what Public Works has indicated, was that the lease was entered into for Department of Human Settlement. So, hence the there is that issue of discrepancy in terms of when the lease was entered into and the date of occupation by ICD. So ICD, the lease had already been entered into almost a year earlier when ICD had moved in. With regard to the rent payment in that regard, no, we did not pay each other. And that is one of the issues on the 25 million that were billing us when we said no, we queried that amount. Honorable Kunevan indicated that ICD cannot buy a building, only DPW can do that, and that is true. And from our point of view, let us have indicated that we're engaging with Public Works continuously in this regard, with a view that where possible we should get our own building. Part of the user management plan that we have submitted to them also talks to that. But what this engagement seeks to achieve is to get the best possible way and value for money for ICD. The chairperson asked about the access budget.
That's one part of my question. I
ask a specific question. Can we ask the Secretary of the Committee, he's offered to write a letter for the maintenance of this committee. I mean, there's no microphone there. There's also not a microphone there. Some of these are broken. If I look at the light cover, the lady sitting there is at risk, that light cover can fall on her head. We're talking about maintenance of buildings. But the other question I've asked here, but for instance, if I look at the satellite offices in the Northwest, almost a year before the expiring of the lease, there was a request. Now, who is at fault? There was the Honorable Convagas office the other way around, where the ICD only requested it after the expiry. But my question is, Jefferson, someone is responsible for it. And what happens to that person? If I'm an official and I'm responsible for the lease, surely I can see that this is an expiring date, I must do something. Has something been done to those officials? Or is it, oh sorry, putting up my shoulders. Let's just carry on. If I'm the boss, I will fire him or her. What steps have been taken? Yes, we can have all these wonderful theoretical policies and all that sort of thing. I want to know what was the practical solution and what were the reasons put in my account given by BPW, why they didn't continue with the lease almost a year before the time that I can be clear and depicted. Have you answered for that?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, like I've indicated, that we're now engaging with them on a regular basis. And these are some of the issues that we raise with them. Unfortunately, we are not empowered to do anything about it, but except to raise these with them and expect them to do something about it. Like you've indicated, in this specific situation, that the request was done a year earlier, but we had not received any feedback from them in terms of getting the procurement instruction in this regard. So it's a problem which I think is systematic within public works. This is not the only case. We've got other cases also where we've sent needs assessment, for instance, and we get the cost analysis a year later, you know. So these are kind of problems that we have, but our position now is that maybe with a new revamped kind of interaction with them, this situation will change. We hope that that will happen. In that situation, Honorable Chairperson, we've indicated that we've put in place a new internal control system to try and arrest that kind of a situation.
Can we get copies of that process? Because what we have in front of us is the old, how you used to do business, that schematic sketch in the front. Can we get copies of this new process, new policy internally, please?
About just the people who fail to follow up on the lease. In that you then had leases that expired without you having approached public works to remind them to do their job.
Honourable, I'm sorry because we hardly hear you, Honourable. If you can, you could on that mic.
Sorry, this room is, yeah, public works, again, I presume. I'd like actually to hear the answer to Honourable Groenewald's question. The people or person who fail to follow up on the leases timeously to remind public works to do their job, because I believe you have to tell public works to do their job. I noticed you just launched into, well, we have a new system. But did the people or persons who fail to follow up and make sure those leases the reminders went out timeously to Public Works, was there any sanction at all? Were they promoted? Were they told don't do it again? Were they, was there any kind of disciplinary hearing, or does it just not matter?
Jefferson, as I've indicated earlier, that or maybe to be more specific, there hasn't been any action taken against any specific individual. You realize that most of those situations are situations that come from provinces. One of the things that we've picked up was that from the performance agreements of individuals in provinces, like your head of administration and your provincial head, there is no specific KRA that requires them to do all these things. And we've seen that as a gap in our system. And we say, moving forward, we're going to ensure that they have that in their KRAs so that we can hold them accountable for these kind of things that, where these things are not done as they should be.
In fact, even with the one where you cautioned DPW that you want the lease to be renewed, it's 2009 May. 2010, nothing from your side to say, remember, we have said we want you to to renew the whole of 2010. To 2011, second year. Only in 2011, that you then say, remember, in 2009, really, I want to believe that you already know the challenges that you have with the PW, and probably that is why you would have started early. But then the follow-up thing, you know, to say, remember this, so that even somebody who may have just placed that letter somewhere, remember they have other departments that are dealing with bigger departments than ICT, but is able to say, but the ICT keeps on saying these things. 2009, then again, 2 years later, 2 years and some months, 2011, you then say, no, but remember, we still need, but also now we have added, because of the IP, we need more now, and so on and so forth. I'm saying that. Yes, 2 years, however, in fact, 3 years, before the lapse of the lease, but there isn't enough follow up from your side, knowing the situation you are working and I'm seeing it.
Chairperson, we acknowledge that, and it's something that we work on to ensure that these kind of situations do not occur again, and we can promise the committee that. This situation will definitely improve in terms of the new internal control system that we're putting in place. Thank you.
Well, outstanding questions on the Mercedes Benz building and the structure of the recovery of the funds that was spent there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding the civil claim on OMB, we applied for a default judgment because the plaintiff obtained the default judgment against the ICD. Thereafter, we filed our papers. After filing our papers, the plaintiff never followed the matter up. We made a follow-up with the state attorney to find out what is the current position, but we have not received any response.
Can we ask when this follow-up was made? When did you file papers? When was the follow-up made?
Unfortunately, I do not have the file with me now, but I can make a follow-up and submit that response.
The recovery of the cost of the restructure building, of the expenditure that the ICD occurred in the cables, was the conflict covered?
Can you also know why was there default?
Well, there are many reasons why.
The default judgment was obtained because we instructed the state attorney to defend the matter together with the public works. The state attorney did not file the papers, and they then submitted an affidavit to that effect that their clerk did not file the papers to court. That's why the plaintiff obtained default judgment. It was an amount of $2,491,000.
Chairperson, with regard to the recovery of expenditure towards Structura, the amount has not been recovered. Our initial engagement with the Department of Human Settlement indicated to us that as far as they are concerned, this issue rests with the Department of Public Works. Public Works indicated to us that they are awaiting the outcome of the this investigation by the public protector.
What it means is that they have not recovered that money which they spent for cables, yes, in Structura, that they, yes, it's not done, because Human Settlement is saying no, that is between yourself and DPW. And DPW is saying, no, we're waiting for the finalization of the investigation by the public protector and whoever on the city forum list, whether it is valid or not valid. I don't know what that is supposed to mean.
Yes, yes,
Honorable Annelies?
Chair, I really think on these two issues, we can't be satisfied with the answers we're getting. Both of these issues, the Mercedes-Benz building as well as the Structura building. If I understand correctly, what is said is that you've asked the state attorney to file papers which wasn't done. Again, it's a question of who's being kept responsible for this, that it wasn't done. Do I understand you correctly that the ICD then had to pay $2.491 million? What is the situation? Where do we stand with this case? I mean, I'm not clear on what the situation is. And in simple terms that we can understand what the situation is. And in terms of the issue of the Structura building, surely the investigation of the public protector has got nothing to do with the Structura building. It's about this agreement. It's about this lease agreement. Again, is the ICD rolling over, playing dead, and so, okay, fine, we wait for the outcome of the public protector's investigation? Or are you asserting yourself, making sure that you get the money back? Whether it's from Human Settlement or from Public Works, and quite frankly, I agree with Human Settlement. I would also say it's Public Works' problem. Or from Public Works, get the money back. That's what we want to hear.
Regarding the first issue, the department instructed the state attorney to defend the matter and give them all the necessary instructions. However, the state attorney...
Can I come in there, ma'am? We have got new members who probably do not even know as to why there is even a matter to defend. So just for their benefit, if you can probably start from here.
Okay. The background was that the ICD contract for the occupation of the OMB building expired. We submitted the documents to the Department of Public Works to start the process of looking for new accommodation. Public Works did not come up with the new accommodation. Then the landlord filed the order for the ICD to pay for the occupation. And at the time, the Department of Public Works had already entered into a contract for another department for an amount which was higher than that which was paid by the ICD. So the landlord was claiming the difference as well as the occupational rent that the ICD had continued occupying the building. We then filed our papers to say
ICD as a department is not in default, but the public works that is in default. Therefore, we are defending the matter. They were also alleging that the then acting executive director agreed with the landlord that we will pay the difference. However, there was no proof to that, and the ICD was denying that. We instructed the state attorney to file those papers and defend us. However, the state attorney did not then file the papers in court and to the plaintiff. Then the plaintiff obtained the default judgment. After we became aware that there was a default judgment taken against the department, we then further gave the instructions to the state attorney to say we were not at fault, therefore we cannot be expected to pay. Then the state attorney filed an affidavit acknowledging that it was them who failed to file the papers. Then the default judgment was reversed, and they then filed our plea to the plaintiff. After they had filed our plea to the plaintiff never pursued the matter. That is the current situation. The matter can still be pursued by the plaintiff to then say they are setting the matter down for the payment of the money, but the plaintiff has never moved after we filed our plea. Yes, and it is also showing in our contingent liabilities. We have vacated the building. We are no longer occupying OMB. We do not know, because the DPW was cited as the first defendant in the matter. The plaintiff is supposed to pursue the matter then to say they are still continuing to sue us for the amount that they are suing. But they have never filed any papers. There is nothing that is happening ever since we filed our plea.
This is now the same issues that we normally complain to SAPS about, the legal liabilities, contingent liabilities, that is millions of rands. It can happen or it cannot happen, but the department needs to budget for it as if it's going to happen. That's unfortunately the situation we sit in now. But I want to know, in terms of ICD, forget about the moment for the 2.4 million. In terms of ICD, have you paid what you owe the person minus the difference in the rent for the time that you've occupied that building after the contract expired? Because you were in the building for a while after the contract expired. So apart from the difference, does the ICD own this claimant any outstanding amounts?
The ICD continued to pay the landlord the amount which they agreed upon for the rental. It's only the difference.
Probably one other question that has not been responded to is your policy on parking. I think the third one was asked, but also I think I wanted to know the percentage that goes to salaries.
Chairperson, in terms of the percentage, and that's now based on projection for tomorrow's E&E, we're talking about 48% of the budget, 48%. But it's, as I say, plus minus 48% of the budget is spent in terms of salaries.
Currently.
For the year going forward.
Can I respond regarding the payment by officials on the ICD policy on the parking? There is a policy where the ICD officials are paying a certain portion in respect of parking. However, the provincial heads and the executive director, they are not paying. The department is paying for their parking.
Chairperson, I think the question you asked in terms of the salary is very relevant, because it becomes relevant in terms of, you look at the escalation of the rent that the ICD is paying 290% escalation while your operational costs went down. Your spending on operational costs went down. I'm trying to get the document now. That's what I'm looking at now. And that's why it becomes very important. I mean, this is a department that is people-driven. You don't need big machinery to do what you're doing. It's people-driven. It's salary-driven. It is operational-driven. Yet, we're now spending a huge amount of money that we could have spent on extra investigators. We're spending on rent. You've brought down your operational costs in terms of photocopiers and things like that. You've brought down. And I think we need to have an understanding. And if it can't be provided to us today, let it be done in writing. How this current lease agreement, specifically of the national office, have impacted on the operations of the ICD. Because you did indicate that you've got this amount of money available. In the end, your commitment is much more. So it must have had an effect on your operations. And we need to understand that. Because otherwise, we are going to, at some point when you come with your annual report, hold you responsible for operations that you were not able to do because of this extra money that you are, expenses that you are incurring.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. The issue was also raised at the hearing of 23 November by Ms. Kola Barnard. Will the leases affect our performance in terms of our key business? We've indicated in that response that no, not in the current year, but in the outer years it can play a role. But remember, we will come to this committee in terms of our budget for this year. And I don't want to preempt that discussion or what's in the budget documents. But our approach is that that the money that is allocated for IPET and in terms of our core business, the new posts, that it's ring-fenced. Everything that, in terms of leases and so on, must come out of our operational budget that we can't, include for this year. So, but I mean, I think that's a big discussion that we will have with the Portfolio Committee in explaining our budget plans and implementation plans.
Yeah, I think we are going to have a discussion because for now it doesn't make a lot of sense to some of us. If you are paying, for now you are paying, in fact in the past we are paying say 500 and something per annum and suddenly you must pay 1 something million per annum. How can it not have an impact in your operations? I'm just asking, really, this is probably a true layman's question to say you're taking money from somewhere to somewhere, particularly because you don't have that money given to you by Treasury. So surely you must be taking it from a particular project and shifting it to leases or whatever. It simply means that. But I think we might actually have to have a discussion on that one. I think we've asked questions. Do you want to make closing remarks?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for this interaction. We believe that since the previous two engagements with the Portfolio Committee, we've made a lot of progress in improving our internal processes, and we'll continue with that. And we also want to thank the proposals and suggestions from members of the Portfolio Committee. We have included some of those in our new internal processes, and we'll continue to ensure that it's effectively run.
Thank you very much. The issue regarding leases is actually becoming a thorny issue in one way or another. It actually, if not looked into properly, can be used as a milk cow, and I think that it's something that we will not have to, delegate to other people. I think it's something that as senior managers we need to manage it ourselves, so that when it comes to accountability, the senior management is able to account on things that itself is involved in and it is doing. I believe that we are over a longer period going to have a problem with City Forum, and I think it remains a serious thorny issue. And listening to what you have presented to us today, one can only wonder as to what will be the end product of this whole shenanigan, and what are the legal implications, but what are the occupation? I mean, you occupying that building, what are the implications? And sitting here as a member of the portfolio committee, I believe that we need more money on other things than just on leases. And I believe that as the department, you did not want City Forum. You wanted a building that you can afford. And for me, that is important. And probably it's something that we expect ICD to assert itself on, to say, this is what we said we want, and this is the money that we can afford to pay, nothing more and nothing less than that is all. Otherwise, the situation as it stands, it does undermine the PFMA as it stands. You occupying a building, expected to pay money, entered into sort of an agreement to occupy a building, the money of which you do not have. And in terms of PFMA, that cannot, it shouldn't happen. So we will definitely be monitoring the situation very closely as the portfolio committee. I just want to say that in the near future, we're going to have to adopt, but also to approve your budget. I'm not very sure as to whether by that time you shall have been able to solve this problem, because it remains a problem that talks to the budget. So I'm just saying that to say we view this matter seriously, and we think that somewhere it will have to find a solution so that we know exactly as to what ICD is going to do and whether ICD has got money or it doesn't have money to pay for the rent. And if it doesn't have money, should the ICD not say we have a contract for Satura or something like that? So I'm just saying that. From what we're getting, whether from ICD or even SAPS, it would seem like the preference is now given to leases over owning building or purchasing building or even buildings. For whatever reasons, you know, even you've said for yourself in areas such as Mpangeni, where it takes 3 years for you to get a building, you will for 3 years be looking for a building to lease, then in 3 years saying, okay, let's build a building. You know, let's construct a building so that we can then own and occupy our own buildings. I am not sure whether this is the way we should be dealing with these issues. I think it is becoming too expensive for the state. I think we could have saved a lot of money if we built our own buildings and occupied them, or purchased the building and occupy something that belongs to ourselves. Checking on the figures that are before us, City Forum itself, according to information that we have, Shabangu says Van Niekerk paid 59 million for that building. How much are we going to pay for the building in terms of leases? It's a lot of money. Would it have not been better for us to purchase that building at 59 million and own it and have it as our own building? I would have thought that that would have been a better option to take than the situation we find ourselves in today. I don't understand. I understand the fact that you have the DPW on the other side, but I think also the department should probably emphasize the fact that our preference for now is that we want to three, then to leave it all in the hands of the department. We definitely will therefore be requesting to get a copy of the of your new internal process releases, which you said you have, and if you can get that by next week on Friday, the 2nd of March, so that we actually can look at it. Maybe even before we engage in the budget processes or hearings. I think that was it, but I think it's outstanding. Probably after our engagement last year on City Forum leases, the department, the ICT, did wake up a little bit, because I think the presentation that you're making today is probably at a level above what you presented to us last year. But there's still a lot that needs to be looked into and corrected in as far as this is concerned. We want, again, when we meet the department, to get the impression that you are in control, because this is what the management is expected to do anyway, to control. Control is one other principle of management. So we want to get this picture that you are in control of the situation, with all the challenges outside yourself, but within ICD, you are in control of the situation, and you've put in place measures that ensure that these things are done properly and in the manner that you are happy with. So this is what I just want to say to you, to say this is the issue. The City Forum matter remains a serious issue. And I'm listening to your presentation, and I really wonder as to how you're going to deal with this matter. For me, it seems like a matter that is very serious and very difficult to deal with. However, we expect you as this management to deal with it, because personally, I think that you also played a role in one way or another. I think you were rather too, I don't want to say negligent, but I think there was an element of negligence in this case. You can't take things for granted that it's a swap. It cannot be a swap. We can't deal with such serious matters and take it that it's a swap. And we said that last time. I think we're repeating it this year, to say we think on that matter you were too relaxed and you took things for granted and overlooked quite a number of issues. We will definitely want to see some improvement in this regard. We are therefore going to have further engagement on these issues, on leases and so on and so forth. These leases that are run on month-to-month basis, we think at some stage when we meet you must be able to explain to us clearly, to say we've opted for this. Is 5 years or 2 years assisting you? Is 5 years assisting you? Is 10 years assisting you? And if it is, what then do you prefer? A longer contract or a shorter contract or whatever? We must get it from you, because you are masters of these things. You must be able to say to the portfolio committee, we're going for the duration of, because of these advantages or these disadvantages, and this is how it is assisting us or it is not assisting us. And this is how we are going to monitor and manage the situation. This is what we'll be happy to hear in future. I want to thank you for the presentation. I want to thank the members for asking questions. I want to believe that going forward, we are going to manage this whole thing. There is tea there, because there are two items which we've got to deal with, and therefore we're going to break for tea, and ICT will then leave us with peace. They will drink tea and leave, and then of course we'll come back. That is at 15 minutes break, at 12:30, we must just come back here as members to deal with the two other items. Thank you very much.
Hello, please.
On the basis of what legal counsel the legal counsel advised me to stop paying.
Well, we must begin to see if you might section 38 of the PFMI accounting officer to ensure that there is not previous right for or the irregular expenditure.
Okay.
And say if there's an outcome that the lease is known void, I mean that means that's going to change the culture picture. So depending on the outcome of the validity of the lease and what is it going to be the outcome of the PPM SIU unit, our view, the council's view is we shouldn't fight. Well, no, well, I mean, we haven't.
Thank you.